So we want to look at the system for evaluating. At its base, at its most simple level, all decisions are based on our need to avoid what? Or to gain what? Here's the problem, though. What happens is your brain clearly knows what to do when a situation is pleasurable. It's going to move towards it. And if it's painful, it's going to move what? Away from it. Here's where the problem happens. When there's this choice to be made. Right? Here's this choice. And your brain links both pain and pleasure to it. That's when your brain freaks out. That's when you start trying to figure out what to do. And by the way, if it links equal amounts of pain and pleasure, which one will it do? Will it work harder to avoid this or harder to get this? Where will it put its priority? Avoiding pain, because it's a survival instinct. Because if I have consistent pain, it means damage. Consistent damage equals death. So in our unconscious, avoiding pain is a higher priority than the desire for pleasure. Now, we go to make this choice. What determines whether we do it or not is not the reality, but what we have learned to associate pain or pleasure to. So it's all about association. And by the way, when your brain's trying to figure out what things mean, you got to understand something. Anytime your brain experiences a significant amount of pain or pleasure, it immediately wants to know the source of it. Why does it want to know the source of it when it experiences a significant amount of pain or pleasure? Why? Yeah, because if it's pleasurable, I want to get it again, the brain says. And if it's painful, I must what? Avoid it. So I better know what it is. But does our brain always accurately come up with a real it, the real cause? Yes or no? And the reason is because the brain uses three criteria to decide what is the source of our pain. And very often it misinterprets one of these, and then you spend your whole life reacting to things that aren't true. And then you wonder why you're not following through or you're not achieving what you want. And those three elements I can demonstrate for you. I use this metaphor, I like it. If you can imagine a baby crawling along a countertop. Okay, so here's this baby, and he's crawling along a countertop. When the baby gets to the edge of this countertop and looks down, a little baby may, is it possible the baby could step over the edge and bam, splat, all over the place. Is that possible? Why? Stupid baby. Good, thanks, sir. Why? Because someone said because the baby has no what? References. Okay, so the baby goes down, splat, bam. There we go. Okay. Here's this baby splat all over the place. Now, if the baby survives, the baby's probably going to have a significant amount of what? Pain. By the way, is this a significant emotional event? Yes or no? So when the baby has this significant emotional event called pain, the brain of that baby is going to go, what is the source here? What's the cause of this? So the brain's going to use several criteria. The first one it's going to look for is what's unique to the situation. Unique is the first thing. So I got pain. What's unique to this moment that wasn't happening before? And so the baby goes splat, and the baby looks around and sees green carpet. There's green carpet everywhere. I wasn't seeing green before I was in pain. Now I see green, I'm in pain. Second criteria is what's happened recently. What's happening, it's the law of recency it's called. What's happening about the moment I'm having the pain? About the moment I had pain, the only unique thing that happened about that moment was green. There was green carpet. Green is unique, and it happened about the moment. I wasn't seeing green before, and I wasn't in pain. So the unique recent thing was green carpet. And then the last thing it uses is consistency. So it's URC. I think it was University of Robbins, California, whatever works for you. The C is consistency. When something happens consistently, about the same moment you have pain that's unique, your brain goes, that's the source. Now the challenge with this is, how many times has something required before it's consistent? Well, it depends on the situation and the person's nervous system. Some people have an experience once and they go, you always do that. You go, always, one time. You go, that's always. Just like some people value certainty more than others. Do you follow me on this? Some people have it happen to have 50 times before they hook up in their head that these things are linked together. Because they may value variety more, as an example. Or their nervous system is just wired differently. So let's say the baby crashes. Is it possible the baby's not certain what caused the pain? Is that possible, yes or no? What if the next day the baby is crawling along this countertop, gets to the same spot? Is it possible the baby could step over the edge and crash again, yes or no? Why? Really stupid baby, thank you. No, you can't say the baby doesn't have references. The baby does have references, true or false? Does the baby have references, yes or no? Yes, but those references are not linked to consequences in the nervous system. See, many of you have done things, and you said, why'd I do that again? What, am I stupid? What, am I sabotaging myself? No, what you are doing is you've never linked up. You may have linked up intellectually, but you've never linked up in your gut, in your nervous system, that doing this equals that. You know intellectually doing this equals that, but you haven't done it in your nervous system. So your body doesn't keep you from doing it. How many follow? In fact, what you link is by getting in a relationship, you go, why do I always get in relationships like this? I always do this. What's the matter with me? Am I trying to hurt myself? No. You've not linked in your nervous system doing that equals pain. You've linked that going in relationship equals pleasure mostly, and so you do it anyway. It's not that you're dumb. It's not that you're sabotaging. Because you haven't linked it up. You haven't linked up a URC that's specific. You haven't created what's called a neuro association. So the baby goes splat again. Now, does the baby have a significant amount of pain? Yes or no? You bet. So now the baby's going, what is unique and recent here? Well, look around. I got pain. There's green carpet again. About the same time. There was no pain a few moments ago, and there was no green carpet. And last time I was in pain, there was green carpet. I now know the source. That's enough time. I don't need any more pain. Green carpet equals pain. Now, will the baby avoid green carpet? Yes or no? The baby starts screaming, green starts coming around. They see green carpet, they're going to scream. You're going, what's the matter with this baby? And then one day they begin climbing on somebody else's countertop, look down and see blue carpet, and splat. They're going to go down again. How many follow this? It's not the baby's stupid, they haven't linked it up. Now, babies are the only ones that do this. How many of you have been in a relationship, the relationship ended, it was so painful, and then you went, relationships equal pain. So then you avoided relationships for a long time, and then you went, look at them, they're having a relationship, it's so happy, it's what I really want, oh my God. And then you got in a relationship. But then the minute they started to do anything that looked like your last relationship, you panicked and went, this is that. And then you sabotaged it, ran from it, or created a problem with it. How many have done this? Okay? It's not relationships. And it's not men, and it's not women. Although many men or women will tell you that's what it is. Because they'll tell you their what? References. Like I read in somebody's forum, they're talking about they want a relationship, but they're talking to all their friends, and their friends say all the good ones are taken. Those are friends? I'd hate to meet your enemies. So other people with low standards for their life now infect yours, and since they're your peers, you tend to agree with them. You have to be so careful. So one of the simplest examples I can tell you is, I know people like a woman one time, I was talking about this in a seminar years ago, A Date with Destiny, in Toronto, and when I got up this woman, her eyes got this big, and she goes, oh my God, now I understand. She goes, I'm going to show you something. And she reached under her hair, and she yanked her hair off, and it looked like her scalp came off, and she was totally bald underneath. And everybody's like, whoa. You know, and she said, I have been pulling out all of my hair in my head since I was 9 years old. And I said, why? And she said, because when I was 6, my father started sexually molesting me. And he would do it every night. And so one time I was 9, I was just freaking out. I was so scared. And I ripped a patch of my hair out in front of him. And he freaked out. And he stopped sexually molesting me. She said, so then I always did is I pulled it all out so that he wouldn't molest me. I said, well, is your father still alive? She said, no, he's been dead for 10 years. I said, well, have you been raped since then? She goes, yes, several times. I said, you wear a wig, right? She goes, yeah. I said, why? She goes, well, because I want to be pretty. I said, why do you pull out your hair? She goes, I guess because I've linked up a long time ago. If I pulled my hair, I wouldn't get raped. Makes no sense whatsoever. Had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with other men. Nothing to do with other relationships. So we're able to break the pattern. Or I had a woman who was an amazing artist in San Francisco. Amazing. And for 2.5 years, she couldn't paint one painting. So I was brought in to turn it around. It became very obvious. She had a great relationship, the greatest relationship of her life with a man. And it was the most passionate relationship of her life. She never loved so much, never felt so much love coming back so much in her whole life. The most intimacy, great sensuality, sexuality. And one day, bam, overnight, it ended. He left her. And he never explained why. He just said, I can't take this. I have to be my own person. He left. So when she had some significant emotional event and pain, her brain looked for what's unique about the situation. What was unique about this relationship? You know what she came up with? Passion. There was more passion in this relationship than anywhere else. And there was passion right before the pain. So, and consistently was passion. Therefore, passion equals pain. So what she did is anytime she got passionate, her unconscious mind would freak out, and so she'd kill her passion. Well, passion is what made her a great artist. So now she couldn't paint. So I said to her, I said, let me ask you a question. Does passion equal pain? When you were feeling passionate with this man, were you in pain? She said, well, no. I said, no, stop. I want you to really get this. When you were feeling passionate with this man, were you in pain? She said, no. I said, you're only in pain when you were sad. You're only in pain when you were angry. You're only in pain when you kept thinking about a sense of loss. Loss equals pain. Frustration equals pain. Anger equals pain. Passion didn't equal pain. And I watched her brain like start to process this until her eyes stopped jiggling. You could see her make this connection. I said, the truth of the matter is you don't know what ended this relationship at all. You've never figured out. You generalized too quickly. It wasn't passion that killed it. It was that he had different values than you had. Is he had a different vision. Or he had some fear that showed up. It had nothing to do with you whatsoever. Or he really wasn't in love, but he didn't want to tell you because he didn't want to hurt you. And finally one day he couldn't take it anymore and he made a decision. Who only knows? But it wasn't passion that killed it. And when we were able to change that pattern and get her linked back up, all of a sudden, bam, her passion flowed. Number one, she started painting again, and 6 months later, she's in a great relationship. What happens to us is because of our pain, when we create this association that's incorrect, we create what's called a false neuroassociation. A false neuroassociation. We start linking pain to the very thing that would give us pleasure. And by the way, when that happens, will our brain avoid it, even though it's what we really need and want? Yes or no? You bet. Well, I'll tell you what's worse is what I showed you earlier. This is an example of what I call a mixed neuroassociation, meaning you mix both pain and pleasure into the same thing. It's like for a lot of men getting married for the first time, they freak out. Have you ever seen this in males? It's unbelievable. And it's because they have mixed neuroassociations. They want the marriage for a variety of reasons. They associate pleasurable things, love, connection, whatever. But they also mix lack of freedom, lack of choice, lack of whatever. And they freak out. Most women culturally link more pleasure to that particular event. As long as you have mixed neuroassociations, you're going to move 2 feet forward, 1 foot back, or 2 feet back and 1 foot forward. And you're not going to ever be able to resolve things, and you're going to call yourself a sabotager. You're not sabotaging. You just have mixed emotions. You have mixed neuroassociations. So, what I want to show you now is, this is a simplistic view. I want to show you what controls all your decisions is pain and pleasure, but you have a system for arriving in your head as to whether it equals pain or pleasure. It's not as simple as I just showed you in most cases. Some things are, right? Like if I said to many of you, okay, this afternoon's program is skydiving. Who's coming? Raise your hand. Okay, who's not coming? Okay, and you guys, how many of you are on the edge? You could go either way. Okay, the either ways have mixed associations, right? The ones I'm in have what linked to it? Quick. And the ones who's no way, I got pain linked to it. You guys follow me? If I asked you a more complex decision that requires many evaluations, then you're going to make decisions differently. Now, by the way, all the people said they'd go wouldn't go for the same reasons. Some people go because they want an adventure. Some people go because they want out of class. Some people go because they want to be able to tell other people about the significant thing they did. Some people go for the variety. Some people go because they know if they don't, other people are going to judge them. See, while you may make the same decision as another person, you'll decide in a different way based on your system. So I now want to show your system because I'm going to give you the overview of this so you understand it, okay? You're going to know how yours runs because I'm going to show you kind of the hardware. Then how you run that hardware is based on what you put in it, the input you put into it. And we're going to find out how you drive it, and then we're going to show you how to change it, and it will change everything because it will change all your decisions, not by working on your decisions, but working on the source of your decisions. And that's where you have lifelong change. Does that make sense? So now, let's look at the process of evaluation. Because as we said, destiny is shaped by decisions, but decisions are shaped consistently by your system of evaluating. So why don't you jot down a few notes. First, write down this. The quality of my life is the quality of my evaluations. The quality of my life is the quality of my evaluations. What does that mean? Ultimately, your life is not driven by what happens to you. It's driven by the decisions you make, right? It's not the events of your life. It's your decisions. But your decisions are controlled by the way you evaluate. So write this down. Superior evaluations create a superior life. Superior evaluations create a superior life. If you look at anyone in the world who is superior at anything to you, the reason they're superior is they have superior evaluation capability in that area. Specifically, you meet somebody who's better at investing, trading, that person is superior in evaluating what to invest in and what not to and at what time. Isn't that true? They have a system for evaluating investments that's better than yours. If somebody's better at singing, it's not that they're so much more talented, it's that they have a superior way of evaluating with their ear and with their body what needs to be done in order to produce the kinds of sounds that will impact people at the level they desire. Somebody's superior in dancing. They have superior evaluations about what movements, what timing, what tension will produce the result that they want. Somebody's got a great relationship, you don't. They're superior to evaluating how to deal with the upsets, the frustrations, the loves, the opportunities in a relationship than you do. Does that mean that they are smarter than you are, yes or no? No, it means they're better at evaluating things. And so if you want a superior life, you got to develop superior evaluations. So in any context that exists in humanity, where anyone is outstanding at anything, all you have to adopt is some of their tools for evaluation, and you can massively improve the quality of your life. Massively. And so I'm constantly studying not only what people do, but why they do it. What's their system for evaluating it? That's what gives me power in the context that I enter in business, for example. And that's what I want you to have in any context that you desire. So to do that, you have to understand that there are elements to evaluation.